Hello, this is Robert Smigel with Europe's podcast, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in Spain. Now get ready for an inspiring conversation with Jorge Ilam, founder of Touchbase, who lives in Barcelona, Spain. Beautiful place, been there. Jorge is a second-time entrepreneur and the founder of Touchbase, an app that helps people reconnect and strengthen relations with those they care about. It's part of the bigger problem of loneliness. He deals with product, pitching, and many other things. He has previously launched a content website catering to retail Forex traders, a business that was acquired. He has experience in product management and, in the distant past, a career in software development. Jorge is addicted to running and has recently completed his 8th marathon. Wow. He's also played bass guitar with his friends, and his career peaked when he earned an entire dollar. Jorge, welcome to Europe's podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Great being here, Robert.
Awesome. So, okay, tell us a little bit more about yourself. You're in Barcelona, Spain, great place to live. You've been an entrepreneur for probably several years. Tell us a little bit about that. You're back. Are you born and raised in Barcelona? Where are you from originally? Give us some background.
No, I was born in Israel. I'm Israeli. I spent 2.5 years in Canada. So I'm glad to know that this is also
connected to Canada. Yes.
Yeah. When I was a small child in Ottawa. And I moved here in my mid 30s. My wife and I wanted to change a bit of the atmosphere in our lives, to live somewhere else. And I originally thought of London or Berlin, but she said, no, the weather needs to be nicer.
Yeah.
So we found ourselves in Barcelona. I thought it'll be a 1-2 year adventure, but here we are, already almost 15 years.
15.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
So what inspired you or motivated you to be an entrepreneur? Were you working for someone else at some time in your life? Have you always been an entrepreneur, or is this something you've been doing for the last 20 years? What's that look like? Give me some.
It's on and off. So I studied computer science, did what my elders told me to do, had a career as a computer programmer back in Israel. But I always had this urge to do something on my own, to have this freedom, to have this flexibility. And much later, I also discovered that freedom is one of my core values. I did those value exercises. And it makes me so proud to have something I own. So I started that business, catering to Forex traders, the website, and then it got acquired and I went back to regular office work, and I had the urge once again to start something new. So here I am with Touchbase, this time something that connects better with my values, and not only a business that makes money.
What are some of the things you've brought over from being an employee to being an entrepreneur? Is there some skills and things that you learned that you, working with people, the networking, working on projects? Give me some of the stuff you learned as being an employee and how you've applied that to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so as an employee, you need to, of course, work with people, and some of them have to work with you because, like, you have to work with them. It's a job. But others you need to influence. And I got much more into that when I had a job as a product manager. And there, that's exactly what you need to do, to influence. And also with networking, as an entrepreneur, if you want a partnership, if you want somebody to buy your product, it's something you need to sell yourself. And I didn't learn that as a programmer as much as I learned it as a product manager. But I found that these two worlds, I mean, eventually, if the business grows, you work with more people. Okay, you're the founder, but you have employees and you need to treat them. And there's always this relationship. So these worlds aren't as disconnected as one would think, but it's much better doing something that you have your equity there and not just working for somebody else.
Okay, you've been an entrepreneur for a while. This latest venture, Touchbase, you started this, obviously. Did you finance, self-finance? Did you get investors? And how does the company currently make money now?
So money came from selling my previous business, from savings, from one friend who came up to me and said, I want to invest in it. And so it's friends, family, and fools money. And my wife's promotion at work. So that's also a connection between the world of being employed and entrepreneurship. And the business model is quite simple. It's a freemium business model, a subscription one. So once you want to stay in touch with more than one person, you pay either a monthly or yearly subscription. So yeah, that's how it
Okay.
works.
I want you to give me one piece of knowledge about the industry you currently work in that the common person may not know about. Something that is, you're very deep into it, obviously, but from the outside world, what would you tell them about the business and the industry you're in?
Yeah, so the business of staying in touch, I would say two things I discovered along the way, and I'm using applying them day to day in the business, and it applies also beyond entrepreneurs. I mean, just we first thing is we tend to underestimate the positive impact of reaching out. If I reach out to you after a few months of recording this podcast and ask you, "Hey, Robert, how are you doing? How is it going with the podcast?" or something even that generic. You will probably respond more positively than I expect. So reaching out is something we underestimate. And the second thing is sometimes it only takes a small spark to a small nudge to push us there and an icebreaker to get
Yeah.
us to do something like that.
It's funny, personally, yesterday I had talked to a friend of mine in 30 years, and we reconnected, and boy, it made me feel great, to reconnect with this person. We could have talked for hours, we only had a half hour, but that feeling of reconnecting really gave me a kind of a spark to my jump for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
What are you most proud of in the terms of the work you do? What really gives you that motivation of being, hey, I'm doing something good here and proud of it? What is that?
Yeah, so I mean, as you said, I mean, reconnecting with somebody makes you happy, and I'm glad I found something that combines doing good with doing well. Of course, any business, any entrepreneur, we need to make money. Okay, but we can do it more ethically, more aligned with our values or less. So that's something I'm proud of. And another thing I found is recently there are growing complaints, and I find them quite justified, that big social media companies and others are doing some harm to the internet, are making the services worse. And I feel I'm Without being part of a movement, I am part of a movement that is doing something in the opposite direction, and that makes me proud as well.
Good. Okay, I want you to imagine that you're talking to someone younger who wants to be an entrepreneur. You're sitting, you're having coffee with them. They want to get advice from you. What would you tell them? What are some of the things, don't make it all flowers, but give them the guts of what it is like to be an entrepreneur and start from scratch. You've done it several times. What would you tell them?
Yeah, so a few things. First of all, it's less scary than you think in terms of, I mean, I was scared of just opening a bank account for the business, all the paperwork. And I hear these kind of complaints from people. Everything is figureoutable, especially now in the day of AI, in the days of AI. And another thing related to AI, it's when we're talking about a tech product which is not too elaborate, not deep tech. It's much easier to get things rolling too. So my advice is just do it. Use Lovable or whatever tool you find, and that today is becoming the easier part. The harder part is distribution, is finding a market, getting people to try things out. That's where I encourage everybody to put themselves out there. I used to be relatively shy. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I can socialize one-on-one, but speaking on stage, speaking in a large group was a bit hard for me. Not an extreme introvert, but and you have to do it. I mean, there's no other choice. That's the one thing AI will never replace. So, and once you go on stage once and again, it becomes much more natural. And I think it's essential doing personal branding, personal marketing, whichever name you call it, just put yourself out there, and that's also something I would encourage people to do. Hard at first, but you get the ball rolling.
Good. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Spain and Barcelona and what it is like for you to do business there. I know you work from, offices or at home, but things like that. But there's some probably things you learn coming there and getting situated. So, what's the long-term vision of your company? Do you see your company expanding into other areas beyond Barcelona, Spain? And where do you want to take it?
Sure. So, as my business is a digital product, Touchbase can be used everywhere. There, you can download a mobile application. So I'm actually more geared toward the US market for several reasons, not only because it's big, but because people there are more aware of the issue of loneliness and are more ready to download apps and try new things. So yeah, I mean, for me it's global and not only Barcelona, but Barcelona is a great place to start businesses. There's a great ecosystem here and it's growing. It still hasn't reached its peak and people here are friendly and supportive, so I feel it's a good place to be in.
Okay, so that's some of the benefits, obviously, being in Barcelona. I want you to give me some really good benefits, like the networking and the people you connect with. But what are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome that you didn't really anticipate when you landed there and said, "Whoa, this is new country, new place, new language, all these different things." What did you do to overcome the challenges and not give up?
Persistence, but on a few things, yeah, Spanish bureaucracy is super slow and annoying. They are nicer than bureaucrats in Israel, but much slower. And that's frustrating when you start a business. Everything moves here more slowly. The advantage is lifestyle is more relaxed. It's a good place to live, and people are nicer. When you go to networking events, people spend more time speaking with you. They don't immediately, in social events, people don't immediately ask you what you do for work, which is very nice. I ran with some people in the running group for years and we didn't know what we did for work. The other side is when you want to move things, when you want to get the stuff done, also everything is much slower. But it's worth it. Also studying Spanish, I thought, okay, I have a good musical ear for languages. That's what I believed. I'll pick up Spanish just by living here. No, I had to go to school 10 hours per week, practice it, make an effort. But again, I think it's totally worth it because I want to be integrated in the place I live in. I don't want to live in a bubble. And it's also part of being respectful to the place you are in.
Yeah. So what would you do differently if you were to go back 15 years when you first landed there? And a lot of entrepreneurs, people come do business in Spain. What would be your recommendation? Like, what would be kind of a step-by-step process? Hey, I did this, but there's some things you can do that might make it a little bit easier. I kind of stumbled a few times, but here's what I would do next time. What would you convey to them?
Yeah, I mean, you can leave the bureaucracy for later. Don't try doing things by yourself, which I tried. Go for somebody that, I mean, there are lots of people you can throw money at this problem, especially if you're not familiar with the language. And even Spaniards struggle with their own bureaucracy, even if they have the best language skills. So just I would say throw money at this problem. And go speak with people as early as possible, speaking with
Network.
customers, speaking with
Yeah.
other entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Did you start networking right away when you got to Spain, or did you take some time to get out there and get to these entrepreneurial events?
Yeah, I took too much time, perhaps because the ecosystem wasn't as developed as it is now. But yeah, I was working too much on my own, which is always more comfortable working at home. But I found out, and now in my second round as an entrepreneur, I put myself out there as much as possible. And yeah, a message to my previous self is get out there earlier. Connections are super important. The support group is super important. So just do
So you
that.
would, that's something you would change, like when you if you landed
Absolutely.
again, just get out there no matter what and start talking to people and get out there.
Absolutely. That's a big change I would make. Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit more personal about your beliefs and some of the experiences you've had as an entrepreneur. How do you define success? How do you celebrate your successes? Like, what does that look like for you? Are you even keeled? Do you celebrate? Or do you, the highs and lows, how do you manage that?
We have a tendency to when we're successful to worry about the next thing. I think it's human. I mean, our ancestors had to escape dangerous animals, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. But what I've learned in recent years is try celebrating a success. For me, that's going to a restaurant where they know me, somewhere where I can celebrate also with the owners of the restaurant, not only with my wife or friends, people in my surroundings, and try to enjoy the moment. And when I have failures, and of course, you can't be an entrepreneur without having multiple rejections on a daily basis and failures, then my lesson is not to ignore it, not to ignore it. Just, okay, I'm disappointed. I have to accept it, let my emotions flow, and then, okay, first allow the heart to do its thing, and then, okay, afterwards let the brain come in and try to, okay, what can I do? What's the lesson here, or what can I do practically following this response?
Yeah, so that's the next thing, like talking about fear and doubt. Now you're talking kind of getting into that. What's the self-talk that you tell yourself? Is something, if you get rejected, things aren't going well for business, whatever. What's your self-talk? What do you tell yourself? You've probably been through this. You've obviously started several companies, different careers of some sort and different industries. So every problem is uniquely different. And sometimes it looks like, is this going to be a complete failure? And how do you pull yourself out of that? What's your kind of triggers and self-talk for self-doubt?
Zooming out a bit, zooming out, trying to see the big picture. But the same goes with points of success. Okay, if I celebrate scoring an important meeting or getting the first customer, paying customer for touch base, great. But how does it fit in the greater narrative? And that helps me sort of balance things out and not lose my mind. So yeah, immediate response, let it go, let it in. I mean, celebrate or get disappointed, but then okay, zoom out, and I also speak with people a lot. So maybe too much. Maybe I consult too much and. Analysis paralysis, but at least I'm aware of that. So, but the idea, yeah, is to have. I mean, I think we all are good at giving advice to other people that we don't always implement ourselves. So I try to think, okay, had I been the other person, what would I have told myself in this situation? And that helps sort of detach from the moment once things settle down.
Okay. You've obviously done a lot of things. You've been an entrepreneur, you've been an employee, engineering, starting companies and stuff. Do you have any personal goals for yourself? Do you want to keep working? Do you want to do other projects? What types of things would you like to do beyond work?
Beyond work, well, I want to be what, but I want to be an ex-politician. I mean, not without the politics. I just want to go on the lecture circuit now that I got into public speaking, and because I find it a lot of fun, and that would be something I would enjoy doing after succeeding in retirement or something like that. And another thing, I mean, of course, I want my touch base to succeed. I want somebody unrelated to me coming up to you, Robert, telling you, Robert, look at this app. It helps me stay in touch with people I care about. That means I reached okay, Touchbase became the go-to place for connections that matter. But as an entrepreneur, maybe it won't work out. Maybe far from that. So I would also enjoy being in a startup as number two or number three. So even if I'm not leading it, even if it's not 100% mine, being in something that is new, that I have a stake in, would make me super happy.
Okay, good. Let's talk about your routines. We know you run marathons. Obviously, you have to stay in shape. Entrepreneurs have to stay in shape because they are the epicenter of their business. And if they go down and they're not feeling well, then everything comes to a screeching halt at times. What routines do you have in place in the morning, midday? What's your day look like to stay healthy as far as eating right, exercising, not over-exercising, balance? How do you kind of manage yourself, your personal ability to stay healthy? What's that look like?
The perfect routine is going out for a run or even gym for something like even 25 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes. That opens up creativity, that moves the body, makes me happy and gives me energy for the entire day. And running over an hour is already can give me energy in the morning, but can make my afternoons quite heavy. But no, I don't always find the time to do something in the morning. Maybe there's something a bit urgent. Maybe I don't need to do that much sports because I'm not training for a marathon. But I try to apply a warm up also to my time in front of the computer. So I begin with sort of sorting out and answering the easy emails, catching up with the news, all the stuff that doesn't require that much diving in. That's my warm up, and then I go head on to the things that take more time. I'm more of a morning person, and try to dive in and answer emails only in a batch. When I see that I'm once again finding myself drawn to the easier things instead of the deeper dive things, I say, okay, I guess it's time for a break. Probably I need to eat or change atmosphere. I try not to work all the time from here, from my home office. Work in cafes, co-working spaces. Try to sit on the balcony when the weather permits, and it usually permits. So making these small changes also helps the mind go creatively.
Do you have kind of a regiment like Tuesday's cafe, Wednesday's at home, Thursday's on the balcony, or how do you calibrate and schedule that?
Well, now I have an intern, so we have set hours at a co-working space, so that keeps me with the routine. But usually mornings at home and afternoons I move to somewhere else, because in the afternoons I have a tendency, okay, maybe I want to take a nap. Naps are good in the weekend, very important, but I don't always need a nap in midweek, so just changing atmosphere re-energizes me.
You sound like you a strong ability for work-life balance. Is that something that's important to you, the work-life balance part as an entrepreneur? Which is
Yeah,
can be
and if
difficult, right? Can be difficult because you got to be always kind of there, present on the business. So how do you manage that so you're disconnected from the business and spending time with your wife or doing things that you want to do personally? Do you find time to do that, or are you constantly thinking about work, or do you disconnect? What's that look like?
We cannot totally tell our brains not to think about something, because when we tell it to our brains will think only about that. I try. I have a few Tuesday evenings is the day I go running with the group with Barcelona Casual Runners. Fridays, beers with my friends. It's the end of the week, and the best disconnections are hiking in nature. Pyrenees are quite close by, 3 4 hours drive, and just spending one day at them in the mountains already is a great disconnection, and I come back with lots of energy, and I feel more bullish. I feel more the can-do attitude and not the bearish can't-do one.
So
So
you recommend rest and disconnect.
it doesn't have to, I mean, I don't need some yoga retreat or something like that, but changing atmosphere, going to the mountains. What's common here in Spain is if you meet friends on the weekend, these can be very long affairs. There's what's called here sobremesa. Okay, you had your lunch, but then you remain around the table and you talk and you talk and you talk. And at the beginning, it was hard for me. Okay, we're done. I want to go back to my stuff, but I learned to embrace it. And then when I do come back to my stuff, I'm re-energized. Yeah.
Good. Okay. If you weren't doing what you do now, what would you like to do for a profession? You touched on it earlier, be speaking events, maybe some political arena of some sort. But if you were to say, okay, I'm walking away from all this, what would you do that would be completely different than what you're doing now? Would you get back into music? Would you do different things like that?
If I could make money out of music, that would be great. I doubt I have the talent, but who knows? It's never late to give it a serious go. Of course, making music is live, or just playing on stage with amateurs like myself is super exciting for me now, more emotional than speaking. So yeah, that's an option. And yeah, traveling a lot. If I could do that with other people, but okay, I don't see how I can make money out of that. And maybe some kind of, I mean, I run a lot and people ask me advice about running. And I have absolutely no training in that. And I only can tell stories from my experience, but maybe a quick course and a certificate, and I could do some consulting work on that as well. That could be fun.
Give me two words to describe yourself. If I was to talk to someone that you work with, that you know, your wife or whoever, and I said, give me two words that describe him, what would they be?
Easygoing, but I'm not sure if it's two words or one.
Let's do it.
I see myself as a, or I want to see, aspire at least to see myself as those buildings in Japan, which bend
Right.
with earthquakes
Yeah.
but don't break. So a Japanese building, maybe that doesn't sound
That's a good one.
as clear as easygoing, but that's what I want to be, or I aspire, or some people see me that way, yeah.
Anything keeping you up at night these days? You just turn it off when you go to bed at night, or do you have a notepad by your bed to give them more middle and write down ideas, anything like that?
No, I mean, I guess it's a matter of age, but my bladder keeps me up at night. That's about day-to-day stuff that come to me. My parents are aging, and that keeps me up at night. So
More
it's
personal things.
not super exciting things, but yeah, I usually don't have the creative ideas at night. I have them either in the shower or on the run.
Okay. Entrepreneurs like to educate themselves. So we want to talk to you about how you educate yourself and the books you read, podcasts you listen to. I understand you have your own podcast, audiobooks, AI tools of any sort. Can you share with anything that's helped you in your career?
Sure. So, in terms of books related to touch base, there's one called The Social Biome by Professor Jeffrey Hull and Andy Marola about how we need this to be among each other. I had the honor of interviewing Jeffrey, so maybe I'm a bit biased by, but it's really good. Another one is of making products is called Hooked by Nir Eyal. He also then wrote another one called Distractable. In terms of philosophy, it's Plays Well with Others by Eric Barker, a bit about the meaning of life, but based on science. And another one is 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkerman. And as you know, there's product management in my life as a job and as an entrepreneur, so I devour lots of product management books. And Teresa Torres' Continuous Discovery about speaking with users, basically, and I think and another one about relationships with people. So there's this lady, Amy Gallo. Her book is called "Getting Along: How to Work with Anyone." So that helped me understand different types of people and how to work with them. So. These are the books. I mean, I usually listen to books on the run using, I mean, audiobooks, and these are the ones that really stood out to me in the past 3 years, I would say.
Okay. Now, you've obviously had some mentors or entrepreneurs that you look up to or worked with and so forth. Is there any advice you've received that someone has told you that resonated with you, whether it be a mentor or anyone else that you've worked with, that you could pass on to entrepreneurs throughout Europe?
Yeah, here in Europe especially, I mean, this is recent with AI, things are moving super fast. Then there's much more demand for B2B than B2C. So if you're looking for money, go for venture capital funds that only do B2C. If they say they're generalist, then they probably will invest only in B2B or almost exclusively. So that's the current mood, at least here in Europe, maybe also outside. So if you're in B2C, that's an advice I would give. And with AI, also another advice I got is that unless it's super deep tech, investors expect you to already have at least minimally and a minimal viable product that you did on your own, an MVP. So and potentially also a bit more than that. So the bar is now higher because it's easier to create stuff. So investors are looking for traction, which is, I mean, common sense, but in the past, I guess you could, it was easier to get funded with a lower level of proof of concept. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to wrap things up here, Yohei. How can our listeners get hold of you? Is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today?
So yeah, get hold of me on LinkedIn, connect with me there, just look up my name, or and of course download Touchbase and let me know what you think. Any feedback is good feedback. No such thing as bad publicity, no such thing as bad feedback. It's always constructive. And yeah, and if you're here in Barcelona, go to meetups. My favorites are one called Fuck Up Nights, where people lower their defenses. I also had the pleasure to speak there. And another one is Tech Barcelona, where you get to pitch. So, and just contact me if you're looking for events in Barcelona or to talk about entrepreneurship or have a coffee or a nice IPA. I'm here, and I always like meeting and speaking with fellow entrepreneurs.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for commenting on the show. I've learned a lot about you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. Thank you for your
Thank you
time.
very much, Robert.
We'll see you next time. Cheers.